Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
If you're enjoying this podcast, why not join us on Patreon for exclusive extras and more lovely, wholesome content? If you would enjoy watching several people have their penises ripped clean off their body, you can do so by going to patreon.com/deadmentalkpod. Give us £3 a month. You can get on our Discord and you can see all the videos that we watch on this podcast. You can also get an extra episode every week. There's loads of extra content we're putting up there. And it's dead good. It's the best way you can support this podcast and keep it going. So get to patreon.com/deadmentalkpod and give us your fucking money.
Welcome to Dead Men Talking, live on location in a fucking storage unit on the outskirts of Newcastle.
We only go to the most glamorous locations.
The glamour of showbiz. Yeah.
Monaco, Saint-Tropez, Jesmond. We're right next to a train track, so every once in a while the train goes past, which is perfect for audio podcast recording.
Jesus Christ.
Perfect.
As soon as we do an audio test, and as soon as he starts screaming into the microphone. Like, when we were testing, it was meant to be at the volume you speak at.
Well, that is, but I raised the volume in order to elicit sarcasm. It's not my fault if you don't understand basic comedic techniques.
It's not my fault if you're shit at doing them.
Fight.
Right, yeah. Get
cheers.
The bowling ball.
Cheers.
Yeah. We are here with renowned hardcore wrestler Clint Margera.
Hello, Clint.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Mate. I'm very excited.
Excellent.
For today.
I am very
me
worried.
Too.
Can I quickly say, don't say me too on a wrestling podcast, heaven forbid. Sorry, that was 2 minutes in.
Fuck's sake.
Can I say that you sound exactly like how I was hoping a hardcore wrestler to sound?
Really?
Yeah, like Sean Dyche. Do you know what I mean? Like,
do you know what? I had a temp job before Christmas, and one of the guys in the warehouse, that's what they called me.
What, Sean
that Dyche? Just became my nickname.
Amazing.
Yeah. I never realised until you said it, and now you're definitely Sean Dyche.
That is how you want a hardcore wrestler to sound.
Yeah.
Like they eat nails for breakfast. You don't want a hardcore wrestler to be like, hello!
Hey, let's leave Captain Bendy out of this. Yeah.
Listen, when you get hit with a chair, it hurts. Believe me, honey. You know what I mean? Like, you want him to sound like rough and grizzled and angry at the world.
They've seen some things.
Did you start out, right, so forgive me, just so we have a basic sort of starting off point. I know next to nothing about wrestling. You don't know anything about wrestling.
Nah,
and you sort of dabble.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah. Like, I would say more than you two.
Yeah, but you're not as into wrestling as you look like you would be.
Yeah, you definitely look like.
Yeah. I've got a Mark vibe.
Japan wrestling from 1982.
Your teenage years, definitely you're into wrestling.
Oh, right? God, like massively. Yeah, I was obsessed. And like obsessed with particularly hardcore wrestling was my favourite. Like my favourite wrestler of all time is Mick Foley. Like,
Mankind.
Mankind, Cactus Jack. And we don't really talk about about Dude Love, but like, you know,
why don't you talk about Dude Love?
Because it was the shittest character. He had three characters and Dude Love sucked.
Yeah, but Dude Love was like the catalyst. Dude Love was the character when he jumped off the roof.
Yeah. Oh yeah, fair enough.
See, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I was, if you were a real wrestling fan, you'd know that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've kissed a girl. So
so we know very little. You know a little bit more. Did you start off, Clint, as a hardcore wrestler, or did you start off as like a...
Softcore.
Softcore.
Like Channel 5, Friday night.
Red Shoe Diaries. Just
started off with arm wrestling or thumb wars.
Well, I mean, I didn't really start training until I'd already like been into it and everything. And when I was a kid, Bret Hart was like my absolute idol, who is so far removed from the kind of wrestling that I actually do.
He was
like the be all and end all for me.
Yeah.
And like the earliest memory I've got is him versus Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 8, where they're beating each other and Roddy Piper's got the bell and he's going to hit him, but he doesn't want to hit him because they're friends. But like Bret Hart's bleeding, so like blood has always kind of been a part of why I kind of liked wrestling. But yeah. And then I just got into like the Hardy Boys.
Yeah. And then I was a massive Hardy Boys fan.
The minute that I saw ECW.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Like, ECW was fucking class. So it's like a 90s wrestling promotion where it was like punk rock sort of wrestling. They were like anti-WWF and like just extreme rules. It was cool.
Oh, what did they have against the World Wildlife Foundation?
pandas in the ring.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam fucking hates pandas.
Mate, you ain't never seen it till you see fucking panda in a figure four leg lock screaming.
Kicking a penguin across the room.
Oh, mate.
So did you start out like being a teenager, like fucking around with your mates? Was it that sort of thing?
Yeah, like I was wrestling at school. We had like the big chain link fences surrounding like the tennis courts.
Yeah.
And you so were, like, I would like climb up to the top of the chain link fence and like jump off onto like all my mates' like bags and stuff.
So you were always the mental one.
You were one of those kids. All the teachers looking going, he won't be a doctor. I mean, he might need one, but he won't be one.
He's going to get to know a lot of them very personally.
I'm quite well known in the A&E.
Yeah, I imagine when you come in to A&E, that it's like the usual.
Concussion again.
I did have the same nurse twice, like the last time. I nearly cut my finger off with a pizza cutter.
Fucking hell.
And was that wrestling related?
It was wrestling related.
Freddie's had that injury, haven't you?
Yeah.
Just trying to eat
pizza
it too quick.
Cut his pizza.
It's the best, though. Pizza's the best.
Yeah.
What were you doing with a pizza cutter in the ring?
So,
was that for your match in Italy that you were talking about?
No.
Just get something they'd relate to.
So there used to be a wrestler in ECW called New Jack.
Oh yeah.
And he would wear a pizza cutter around his neck on like a bit of rope.
Yeah.
So I was doing like a running. I wasn't even wrestling actually on the show. This was literally like the last 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
So I came down with a shopping trolley full of like weapons. I had the pizza cutter thing on my pizza cutter around my neck.
Like a hardcore Dale Winton.
And I was like, yo, this is going to be sick, man. So I got in and like I was cleaning house and stuff. Yeah. And then one of the lads like gave me like a kick. And as I fell back to bump, the pizza cutter, because it was on a bit of string, like flew up.
Oh, shit.
And it was literally about to hit me in the face, so I just had to put a hand up.
And
then it just went straight
through. Are they
that
fucking sharp, the ones
that
are
using? Yeah, Brad literally bought it that day.
Fuck.
Did the nurse believe that story? Because that sounds like you're a victim of domestic abuse and just making something
up. I definitely didn't tell her the full story.
Right.
About, I was cutting a pizza and someone distracted me. And I...
Yeah.
So I would have thought, and maybe this is me being naive, but I would have thought that there would be like a special shop that you go to online that's like www.fakeshitthatlooksreal.com or whatever, and you can get your stuff on there and it's a pizza cutter, but it's not actually sharp. I didn't know that you went to Tesco's, bought a pizza cutter, did nothing to it and was like, well, this is okay and nothing bad will happen.
Do you mean like Rebecca Goodwin's dildo?
Yeah, so we interviewed Rebecca Goodwin, who's OnlyFans model, and they make all of their stuff, it has to be made out of silicone. So if she's going to shove a hairbrush up her vag, she can't just use a hairbrush, it had to be like a silicone-looking hairbrush.
Right.
I thought that you would have like a blunt-looking pizza cutter or something like that. I didn't realise that you'd just go out and get one.
No, I just went and bought one from the supermarket next to the Molyneux back in Wolves.
It's amazing. I love that you were inspired by New Jack as well, because he was like a notorious lunatic who would fuck people up.
Yeah,
like,
he's legit stab people.
Yeah, yeah. Like not in, and this isn't like, you know, it wasn't meant to be part of the match. He'd just get into it and start fucking slashing people. Like,
wait, what?
Yeah, like New Jack was a fucking lunatic. And you, I love that you watched him and went, yeah.
Some of the stuff he did was cool.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Stabbing people for real isn't cool.
Not cool, no.
But
you need a new Jack, really.
Very new Jack. Yeah. Lads, like, yeah, but that's it. Like, there's not like, you know, the budget in order to make a fake thing would be huge. Whereas I think they just, you know, you just hit each other with it, innit?
Yeah. Does wrestling pay well?
It can do.
Yeah.
It can do, yeah.
Mm. If you're, I mean, I imagine if you're at like the WWE or whatever it's fucking called now, I imagine that they get paid like dollar. Like if you're like fucking...
Oh, if you're on like the main roster.
Yeah.
You get paid really well.
Sorted. And then if you've got good merch as well, if they've got like a good t-shirt and stuff, you get a decent cut.
Yeah.
Like think of the money that Steve Austin must have made when Austin 316
came. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so he would have got a cut of those t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, leather waistcoats fucking flew off the shelves.
They went through the roof.
In Texas.
Yeah, so if you've got a sick t-shirt as well, like that's kind of, it's kind of like the whole thing with like bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the money you make is out of your merch. And
yeah. But I imagine there is also like the lowest level, like when you're just like on what the equivalent of the comedy circuit for us, where you're going and getting stabbed with a pizza cutter for 50 quid. You know, like that's a lot of it.
Yeah. Okay, so the way comedy works, right, is if you're starting off as a comedian, you do things called open spots, which is you do 10 minutes and it's like you're probably going to be shit, but you just learn how to do comedy. Mm-hmm. And then you might get like your expenses and do 15 minutes or whatever, and you're building up to like a 20-30 minute set that's like top great, and that's where you'll make your money on the circuit. Is that similar to how wrestling works? Like when you start, are you just like, are there points in the bill for just like amateur wrestlers where they come in? Or
I think it's just kind of like, A, it's about knowing your worth, and then it's just kind of like, you know, the seniority thing does come into it as well. Me talking about, like, you're paying everything, but what are we talking about?
So, like, if you're, like, a brand new... If you're, like... So, if there's anyone watching who's a lunatic who wants to get hit with stuff, like, what's your first step of getting onto the wrestling circuit? How do you get your first
Tesco
match?
Tesco Wolverhampton. That's what you do. Go to the pizza section.
Find yourself a spaghetti spoon, twat someone with it.
Yeah. Big pot for salt and pasta. You can hit someone with that.
You're going to work your way up to the pizza cutter, I reckon.
Being trained is like the first thing that you need to do.
Right.
Do you have a qualification then?
Oh, yeah. I've got an MVQ in deathmatch wrestling. Level 2.
Right.
I sat in a classroom.
For your final first test, they've got to hit you with a cheese grater. So I assume with you, like, deathmatches were always like your aim. Was it always the bit you wanted to get into?
Once I started training, that was it.
Yeah. And how did you know you had like the aptitude for it? Were you starting getting hit with stuff and you went, you know what, I can handle this?
Yeah, I think it was definitely just like, I just want to get hit with a chair.
Yeah.
And then it was, I want to go through a table.
Yeah.
And then once you've gone through the table, you're like, okay,
what's next?
Jump off a ladder.
Yeah.
Onto someone on a table with a chair. Then you do that and you're like, okay, these light tubes look cool.
Mate,
let's
the
start
light
doing these.
The light tubes. So I've been watching your matches all week, like get prepared, and like the amount of light tubes. What's your conservative estimate of how many light tubes you've been hit with? Because I've watched at least 100 this week.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Thousands, innit? Because I watched one match where you made a table out of light tubes. And then...
It's called a sunbed, innit?
Yeah. And like, it was essentially... You essentially put your opponent through a fucking sunbed. It was... Fucking
it
wild.
Hurt, but he had a lovely tan at the end of it.
This is it, the bit that was freaking me out the most wasn't getting hit with it. It was the ring is then covered in glass, and like this match starts off with them just twatting each other with light poles for like 10 minutes, and then the rest of the match, every move, are you like picking bits of glass out of yourself after a match?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have like tweezers backstage?
Well, luckily there's always first aid trained.
Sure.
People.
I imagine that's a busy night for the St. John's ambulance, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely a few times where you think you've got it all, and then you go home, have the shower, and maybe a couple of days later you'll be like, Is that a little twinge in my elbow?
It's like sand on the beach. Yeah. It gets everywhere, this glass.
Takes his shoes off and just pours glass out.
The amount of times that I've like walked, like I've like drawing pins in my boots and stuff, and then I'll take them home and I'll forget that they're in there and
put your shoes
back
on.
There like flicking like hundreds of drawing pins out of the bottom of my boots.
Hundreds.
So when you get hit with one of those light tubes, the initial contact, is that where the glass goes in, or does glass not really go in at that point?
It's so strange to like explain it. The initial hit, I don't think, is as bad as people will think it looks.
Sure, but I'll be honest with you, mate. You're not the person I'm going to take's word for things hurt. I think you might have a slightly different pain threshold to other people.
It's like Usain Bolt saying, I wasn't going that fast.
But you definitely get like a proper adrenaline rush out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then once that wears off, that's when it starts to be like, shit, that kind of hurts.
Yeah, the day after a match must be fucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that when it all just like kicks in?
Yeah, basically. You have that psycho shower and then all your cuts are like open and then it's just...
Talk us through the psycho shower. So this is straight after the match, is it?
Yeah, either straight after or after you've been driven home or got the train home, covered in your own blood.
Sorry, you sometimes get the train home after one of your matches looking like you've been in a fucking car accident.
I bet there's not many people who sit next to you.
the most important...
It's one way to get a seat to yourself, isn't it?
Covered in blood.
Half a light tube sticking out your head.
God, glass in my elbow.
Always make sure that you've got a shitload of baby wipes. That's like the most important thing in my suitcase.
And an alibi.
Yeah. Footage from the show. So you're like, no, honestly, I haven't murdered anyone.
It was consensual,
I
promise.
Just doing this.
Yeah, just doing this. I imagine there's more explaining to be done when you show them what you were actually fucking doing. Like, it's not as convenient a thing as you think it is.
How many gigs a week do you do then?
Because all my stuff's over the weekend. I know there's a lot of weekly shows, but I work Monday to Friday, so Saturday, Sunday, maybe a Friday as well.
Yeah. All right. So you do
them back to back, though. So you'll have a match then the next night.
And there's been nights where I've done like the deathmatch tournaments. And,
You
know, I've had like three in one night, or the year after I did four in the same night.
Fucking hell! Four deathmatch in the same. Jesus. And this is one of the ones I watched that was where it's the final of it. And like by the final of it, the ring's already covered in shit. You're starting the match and there's glass fucking everywhere. Yeah. Like, Jesus, how do you keep topping it for four matches? That's insane.
It is tough. Yeah. It is definitely like a real hard part of the whole thing is like coming up with stuff to make it, you know, top the one that came before it.
Mm. Yeah, so. I guess it's like law of diminishing returns to a point, isn't it? Where like if you do loads of fucking mad shit and then you hit someone with a chair, then that's not going to have the same reaction as if you hit someone with a chair to begin with.
Yeah.
And then afterwards. Okay. Go on.
Do you think you've hit your limit yet, or do you think you've got further to go?
No, I still think there's definitely stuff that I'm... There's still ideas that I've got that I really want to...
Go on. Mad idea. Go on. Give us a mad idea.
Well, I did this thing in America called Tournament of Death, which was like the premier deathmatch tournament.
I've watched them. They're upsetting. They're like, they are mental.
But they sound so jovial.
Yeah.
The Tournaments of Death.
I watched someone nearly die in one of those. They got such a bad cut that it was like...
Nick Gage.
Well, I mean... Yeah, it was Nick Gage.
Nick Gage, MDK.
Yeah.
It's not called the Tournament of Nearly Death. Is it?
You know, there is a warning in the title.
He did actually die. He technically died in the helicopter.
Oh, yeah. He came back.
They picked him up in a chopper and like choppered him to the hospital, and he died in the chopper for like 6 minutes.
Honestly, he was losing so much blood. It was a bit of glass and it just got
wrong. He got cut. And he's like his armpit, main artery under his armpit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, when you know it's bad when deathmatch wrestlers are going, that's a lot of blood.
He went out, he was wearing a white Chicago Bulls jersey. And by the time he got to the hospital, he was wearing the red Chicago.
So you went and competed in that?
Yeah.
That's wild.
And we did like this bob. We've got a trampoline frame, like a 14-foot trampoline frame. Okay. And then just barbed wired it. So it was just the frame, and then the whole of it was just barbed wire.
Wait, so you made a trampoline out of barbed wire?
Yeah.
That's insanity. That's literal insanity. That's taking the very essence of a trampoline
yeah.
and turning it on its head.
Yeah, it's an that's awful.
It takes a lot of the fun out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So do you guys go around like the early learning centre and like B&Q and just wander around and go, I could hit someone with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know that bit in The Wrestler when they're going when they're in the shop and he's picking up the weapons and he's like, oh, check this out, and they're hitting each other.
Is it literally like that?
It's like that.
Really? So what have you? So what are you thinking about trying then? What do you want to try?
I want to do the barbed wire trampoline in the UK because as far as I'm aware, it's never been done here.
I wonder why.
It's such a
I wonder.
But I've got a friend who wired up the one at Tournament of Death.
Oh, he does because work, does he?
Yeah, he likes.
He's the premier barbed wire trampoline.
If you're going to get it done, you get it done by
his craftsmanship.
I wouldn't want it done by anybody else.
No, you don't want it done on the cheap, do you?
God, I mean, if you got it done by somebody else, heaven forbid, Clint, it might be dangerous.
I wouldn't trust anybody
Someone
else.
Someone could get hurt.
Yeah, you got to take extreme safety cautions when you're making a barbed wire trampoline.
Safety first. It's like Danger Aaron says.
Safety first.
So, barbed wire trampoline, what else?
Yeah. I've got a match coming up in December, and he's with this guy called John Wayne Murdoch, who like last night just won a deathmatch tournament, the Nick Gage Invitational, and we're doing a dry ice deathmatch.
What?
We're just going to have like pits of like dry ice.
Your face is going to look like fancy cocktails.
Work on Monday is that, after would is be that interesting.
Not, Jesus.
That one like terrifies me. Like, can you not like snap a finger off if you freeze it wrong?
Well, like Terminator 2.
Yes. That's the finish. That's what I'm expecting.
You're snap an arm off.
I want it to be like... Not shoot him, obviously.
No, not shoot him. Just pull his arm off.
Yeah. Okay, let's try and come up with some more ideas to give Clint even more of an edge in this world. I'm going to start a dildo with nails.
That has been done.
Fuck off!
That has already been done.
A nail dildo has been done.
This guy in America, Casanova Valentine, did the nail dildo.
I mean, that's very on brand for his name, isn't it?
It is. He sounds a lot
more
romantic.
You with the nails!
He's a lovely fella.
Yeah, it sounds. It sounds like
he's a lovely fella.
At the sex dungeon, we had a drildo. Has a drildo with nails been done?
Right. A drildo with nails hasn't been done, but a drildo has been done.
Right, drildo with nails.
We did nails.
Me and this guy called Chris Brooks, we did dildo wrapped in barbed wire.
Fucking put someone's knob in an air fryer. Slam it shut.
With barbed wire.
On.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's cooking it on grill mode for 10 minutes.
Is the air fryer on fire? It's not on fire.
It can be. Oh, okay. Yeah.
A hat on fire. So you get like a baseball cap and then set it on fire and then put it on someone's head.
Yeah, I think you might be underselling the level of violence they're going for, to be honest with you, mate.
That's underselling it. A hat of fire.
I think, to be honest, yeah.
Right. You could make a safe version of that, I reckon.
Okay. Yeah. What about like fish hooks?
Ooh, done. Like,
done. Yeah. Didn't tell you where I was putting them yet. Either side.
Maybe it's still been
two
done.
Two of them, foreskin, either side.
Oh, that hasn't been done.
And then, and then pushed off a ladder.
It's a
Jewish death mash. That's what it is.
A foreskin bungee jump.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we've got the Briss match. So what would you say is your least favourite thing to be hit with? What's the thing that sucks even for you?
Reality.
Monday morning.
Oh my God, he's been hit with the 9-to-5!
Is there one thing in particular, though, that when your opponent's like, should we do this spot, you're like, ugh.
I've seen people use like pigeon skewers and stuff. You know, like
what's
birds.
What the fuck is a pigeon skewer?
You know, the stuff that people put on the walls and shit to like stop pigeons.
Oh, the spikes
on
the train station.
Yeah. Oh, fuck off.
They're like.
Yeah. Someone wanted to do those ones, and I was just like, absolutely not.
So there is something you'd say no
to.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like anything that's used to specifically kill animals is like. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, I watched someone do it and they like. Legit nearly like pierced a kidney, so I was just like, nah.
Yeah, the bamboo skewers freak me out, I think, the most when I'm watching. When there's like
they sound delicious.
like massive bamboo spikes throwing each other into them. It's just there's so much chance of snapping, splintering, stabbing into you.
Yeah. But we always do like the ones in the head and then you let them go and you got like the porcupine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Effect.
Oh, my
which looks
God.
Cool.
Yeah, it does. It also looks upsetting.
You've like, got some stuff around here that, I mean, spoiler alert, but we're going to do some challenges later and it's Patreon only. And I thought they looked really, really hardcore. And it sounds like these are the ones that you just use for pussies, right? Like a bowling ball.
We're definitely, we haven't gone all out on this one. Isn't there some light tubes lying around?
Yeah. So I overheard, Clint and Howard, isn't it, who owns this. They got a bowling ball out and they went, oh, we could drop the bowling ball on the cock, but that's a bit niche.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Well, this is luckily quite a niche podcast.
Yeah. I think we've seen that video before, haven't we?
Yeah, I think someone sent that in at some point, yeah.
Fucking brutal. What do you like being hit with? Like, there's got to be some stuff where you're like, oh, fucking bring on the thumbtacks or whatever.
Carpet strips.
Yeah. Oh,
carpet strips.
Yeah, I quite like using carpet gripper.
Yeah.
So you know that it's so working class.
Spoken like a true Wolverhampton
exactly.
boy.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I like it because it hurts, but it's also learning a trade. You know.
It's fucking wicked, man. Yeah. Talking about
carpet. Yeah, no. Well, it's something to fall back on.
Oh fucking hell! That's your one.
Oh God. Oh fuck! Do carpet strips hurt then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why
look
do you like it then?
Evil.
I just think they, because people can really relate to that, like they relate to like the drawing pins and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know, you've walked around barefoot and there was always a loose bit of carpet, or you're running up the stairs.
Yeah. I get you, because everyone's seen them and you're like, oh, that's a bit of a nasty thing.
But suppose a fluorescent tube, not many people get hit with them. By
accident. I can still like, I still look at that and I'm like, that looks unpleasant.
Yeah.
I saw one where you had
sounds
it.
Sounds great.
Yeah, sounds cool. But you had one, you popped one in your mouth.
Yeah.
Does that not suck?
Well, you don't want to suck.
Yeah. The last thing you want to do, breathe out.
Breathe in all the mercury. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But it looks sick.
Yeah.
And if you've just got to do stuff sometimes because it looks cool.
I mean, I guess. Like, do you reckon you have a different pain threshold? Do you reckon you feel pain less than other people, or are you just better at managing it?
Maybe just better at managing it.
Yeah.
You see, people like me and Clint, we're not pussies like you two.
Okay, well, I look for remember that. You know, later
we're just built differently.
You are definitely built differently.
Right, I've stepped on Lego before, not even flinched. I mean, not even flinched. In fact, I actually travelled to America to do Nick Cage.
Different guy.
Nick. I would love to do a Nick Cage invitational.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Do a face off. Yeah. Cut someone's face off.
Well, Nick Cage, actual actor Nicolas Cage invited me and a few other of the top Lego wrestlers.
Lego wrestlers.
Round to do a Lego death. Lego. I'll tell you what, by the end, you couldn't fucking move for little bits of Lego and pieces.
Right. You could, because you could move freely.
I didn't even flinch once. Wasn't even asked. Right. I wasn't being thrown onto them. I stepped on them and stuff. Yeah. Fucking, like I say, just guys like us, just built from a different cloth.
Yeah, standing on Lego's the same as the barbed wire dildo thing.
Yeah.
The trampoline made of barbed wire. Oh, put some Lego on there, though. That's too far. Yeah.
Just saying, that's all. We're just built differently.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I look forward to hitting you
guys like you,
later.
Muggles.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely fine with that. Massive pussy, don't hit me with things. Yeah. I'm going to talk a very small game before this.
If you want to get hit by all of them, you go for it, mate.
Yeah. You prove
we're more than happy to let you take the lead on this one.
It's just
mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mentality,
just a normal day for me. That's all. I want you guys to. I mean, I woke up and got hit with a traffic sign. It's just, you know. Normal, you know, get hit with chairs, go through tables.
No, he fell asleep at the wheel
in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I've got to do a speed awareness course off the back of it, but point still stands. So I keep seeing, loads of parallels between the world of wrestling and the world of comedy, right? And one of the things in comedy is that there are certain comedians or certain things that are really hack, like things that you see all the time and you're like, oh, yeah. What are the hack wrestling things? Like the bits where as a wrestler you go, yeah, oh, we've seen that, we've done that.
I don't know. Like, you must have seen thousands of people get hit by a chair. That's like boring for you now, right?
But it's the way you do it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know,
it's still like it's one of your basic building props, isn't it? Yeah. Like, is there like a rivalry between different types of wrestler? Because we, like, you know, prop comedians are the lowest of the low.
Oh, musical comics can fuck off.
Improv. We're like, you know, so we have different, like, the deathmatch wrestlers. Do you look down on like the flippy ones?
Oh no. Oh, well, I mean,
the flippy ones.
I can only speak for myself, but I don't look down on any other kind of wrestling. Yeah. I think everything's got a place.
What about the ones in the Olympics where they're just a bit rubbish, isn't it?
Kurt Angle came from the Olympics.
Yeah,
that
is true, yeah, and then he went to the good one.
So you don't look... So there's like a total sort of equal... Everyone's... Like there's no form of wrestling that's seen as like higher than the others.
I don't look at it that way at all. To be honest. I mean, I'm sure there are people who do the more traditional style who will probably shit on death matches and think we only do it because we don't know how to wrestle, or just do it because it's easier than doing like easier. Normal holds.
I wouldn't say easier. Easier wouldn't be one of the words that...
Like I said, I'm sure there are people that do things like that, but that's just very narrow-minded.
Yeah, and like the old guys as well, like in comedy, there's a bunch of like guys who are around still from ages ago who have a very old school view of what comedy can and can't be. I imagine that's a similar thing with you as well.
Yeah, like, things just grow and change. Yeah. You either go with it or you just get stuck in the mud and just be a bitter old prick.
One of the things that's changed in comedy massively is like social media and stuff like that. So 10 years ago, the prevailing wisdom was you do not put any of your stuff online. Oh, if you put a joke on the internet, you won't be able to use that joke again. People will have seen it. No. Do not put anything on the internet. And now it's like a gold rush. Everyone's putting as much as they can online. Has like Instagram and social media, has that changed how wrestlers operate?
Yeah. I think very similar to that joke thing. I mean, there's a lot of people who will put little training videos on and they'll be doing all the... It's mainly like the... One of the bed, the flippy guys, but they're really good at what they do.
Oh yeah, totally.
And they'll do like all their little rope things and stuff. And there'll be people who will look at it and go, "Oh well, what's the point in putting it online if you're going to do it like before in front of a crowd? Like you've wrecked it before you've done it." And it's like that's just not a cool way to look at it. Like they're just showing that they're good at this shit. That's what they do.
If it brings new fans in, then great, isn't it? Like, do you do the same thing, but just like hitting yourself with stuff in the kitchen?
My Instagram.
Oh my God, a Clint Margera cooking show.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
I love to cook. I do love to cook.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, just getting smashed with a frying pan before you make your eggs.
Yeah. Well, you can't make an omelette without breaking a few fingers.
My Instagram's basically just pictures of my cat, my girlfriend, and songs that I'm listening to on Spotify because I'm a massive emo. So that's
what do you
strangely
like cooking?
Wholesome.
What do you like cooking? What do you like making? Oh,
trust him to go straight for the food.
We get one of those.
Trying to get to know Clint the person.
We get one of those subscription boxes. I don't want to say a specific one because
they're not paying us. So don't.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck HelloFresh.
Yeah, and also fuck Manscaped. They're still not paying us, so buy their alternative. I think they've got a competitor. Buy them.
Womanscaped.
Yeah, so I love like cooking out of the fresh boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Go to me. If you were doing like a come down with me, what's your starter main dessert?
Starter.
He doesn't call it a dessert, he calls it a finisher.
So
yeah, sorry all the forks are bent.
Sorry they've all got blood on them. I was stabbing them into my own head last night.
I made a little Clint black pudding.
I've made a pizza. Have you got a cutter? No.
So we'll go with the wrestling terms. So my shine, so my starter.
Yeah.
And I'll probably go for a classic prawn cocktail.
Oh, I do like a prawn cocktail. Yeah. But I tell you what, with a prawn cocktail, right, is you got to think about what main is going to follow that prawn cocktail. Did I ever tell you about the time I did a sportsman's dinner and they had three meals? They had a set course of meals that should never follow each other.
Who was the sportsman as well?
Phil Thompson, who fucked me over, by the way, to go on first. And I died, well, I would have died on my arse anyway.
Mm-hmm. We've
but
seen
I
the comedy.
Had to watch him smash it first. So fuck you, Phil Thompson. You fucking big-nosed prick. He really fucked me over. Fucking knob. I've not forgotten it. I'm glad you got sacked from soccer, AM.
So what was the start of?
So, Oh, yeah. So...
this is what happens when anyone mentions food. Just, yeah.
This is it.
Excited.
All that goes on in my brain is food and grudges. Those are the two things. And it just gets... So you have to sort of push me back onto food and go, oh yeah, oh yeah. So the start was prawn cocktail, yeah. Right? Now, what is the worst thing that could ever follow a prawn cocktail, do you reckon?
Sexual assault.
That was the main, sexual assault.
Barbed wire trampoline?
Barbed wire trampoline.
Food-wise.
Right.
More spaghetti prawns? Bolognese.
Worse than that. I would have loved a spag bol after this.
More prawns?
No. No, think completely opposite in terms of a flavour. I'll tell you. It was a chicken Madras.
Right. What? Oh, that is weird.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Prawn cocktail, chicken Madras.
Yeah.
Dessert, tiramisu.
Oh.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jesus.
That's insane, isn't it?
That's eclectic. That
shit. Why would you ever do that?
Yeah, fuck you, Phil Thompson. Yeah.
Not only that, after they'd eaten it, they had to watch Freddie do comedy.
It strikes me as a chef that bought too much cream and panicked. I'm going to have to build it around cream, lads. It was fucking dreadful.
It was the only time Freddie didn't ask for seconds.
Oh, yeah, not thirds, let's be real. So starter prawn cocktail, main?
Am I a big Hunter's Chicken fan?
Oh, I like Hunter's Chicken.
I don't think it really follows very well, thinking about it.
No, but
I've said it out loud.
I would say they're at home in a classic British menu. I think they're you'd see them in the same thing.
Yeah, this is great British pub food, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
like crushed roast potatoes. Ooh. Maybe with a bit of garlic or something.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of rosemary on those roast potatoes. What's your dessert?
It's like, keep sticky talking.
Sticky toffee pudding.
Classic. Oh, I like a sticky toffee pudding.
You're watching Off Menu.
Oh, man. So with your like regular injuries...
That's what? Right, you bring it back on to
bring it back to the wrestling. I'm going to get you off food for a second.
You've been trying that for 72 episodes.
Still not working. Like, what's the worst injury you've had?
Probably when I cut my bicep open on like a plug board.
On a board with
yeah,
plugs?
Yeah, so we got a
plug
plywood
plugs.
Board, yeah. And then I bought about 15 plugs from Wilco.
Oh, so the plugs are facing out.
And just super glued them onto the, so the prongs are sticking out.
Fuck!
And you cut your bicep off?
Yeah, I got like thrown through it, and as I went through the board... It kind of like came down like a shutter thing.
Who could have thought that would go wrong?
Do you still use the plug board?
No, it's been retired now.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, once your arm's nearly off, it's time to move to a different prop.
I don't know, because he's pulling all the mad shit.
Nah, it's like when a dog mauls a kid. Yeah. You've got to, like, yeah. You can't put that dog out, and you got to, that's not allowed to be around anymore, yeah. You know? Jesus. Fucking plug board.
Do you ever have matches against people you don't really like and you go in a bit harder?
That's no. A yes.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think I've wrestled anyone that I don't get on with.
Yeah, okay. I think you kind of got to do what you do, don't you? You've got to trust each other.
There's a lot of trust involved, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
and if I did get an inkling that, you know, there was some kind of animosity there, I'd, you'd obviously go into it a lot more careful, but I've never wrestled anyone that I don't get on with.
Yeah. There's got to be a lot of mutual respect. If you're both going through the same shit, you know what's happening. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Is there people who you wrestle, you don't have to name them obviously, but is there people that you wrestle and you go, oh God, this guy's not very good. He's going to fucking hurt me because he's shit.
No.
Like, because I watched a wrestling documentary and it's apparently, I've watched two right. Actually. One of them was about the Montreal Screwjob,
yeah.
Which was a misleading title.
Freddie's got his little box of tissues ready.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was going to be about sex in Canada. And the other one was about the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who was apparently not very good at wrestling and a bit of a cunt and everyone hated him. Yeah. But like, they were like, oh, I'm going to get hurt by this guy because he fucking can't.
But he looked cool as shit.
No, yeah, he's a bodybuilder, man. Yeah, so he looked fucking amazing. Yeah. But I was wondering, like, because sometimes when you're doing comedy as well, like, you don't think they're going to hurt you, but you know they're going to hurt the room, so to speak, with a dreadful, dreadful joke.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So you're like, oh, this is going to be a more difficult day for me because this guy is shit. Okay, so you only really do it with people that you like, then, or people that you
like? Yeah, like I say, I can't think of a time where I've wrestled someone where neither of us get on. Or, well, not that I know of anyway. If they hate me, they've been really good at faking it.
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm going to rip this cunt's bicep. Yeah.
Although, if you did, what a great career to be in. If there was someone you hated, you were like, shall we have a little death match, shall we? Just, let's do it.
Thinking about bringing the pub board.
Do you know what I haven't done yet? A barbed wire trampoline. In
You go first.
And I'm not going to take it this time.
Do you know what I found out recently is, and again, this is clearly very obvious to you, but it wasn't to me, is that wrestlers go through different, like personas and shit.
Well, yeah, your standard thing is the heel and the face, and they often switch between. Like, you're more of a face, aren't you, in general?
Yeah, yeah. I've been like a bad guy in some places.
Oh, I'd want to be
the heel. Is the bad guy. Yeah, you'd be
heel's
the heel.
Bad guy.
Heel's bad guy, baby face is the good guy.
Okay.
Like, I'd want to be the heel, definitely.
Oh, 100% you'd be a heel.
Yeah, because
you're a sociopath.
And I enjoy pissing people off as
and
well.
And people don't like you.
Yeah, for all of these reasons.
I'd be a face, because I've got a baby face, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't think you're very good. You work as a bad guy.
No. I'm going to smash you.
Yeah. Or watch your shins. You're too cute to be a bad guy.
Yeah. But in general, you're more of a baby face, isn't it? Like.
Who decides that? Do you decide it? Or does the owners of the wrestling thing, or does the crowd decide it?
I think it's a bit of a mixture of everything, really. Mm. When I do like the Healy stuff, I'm not really as vocal. Like, so when I do like the facey stuff, I'm a lot more like G-ing everybody up whereas when I do like the heel stuff, it's a bit more just quiet and
just being sinister and violent. Yeah, yeah.
I kind of always like, you would take this thing away from like the Jake Roberts, where he would like just pick out one person in the crowd and literally just death stare him.
Yeah.
To like kind of like freak him out and stuff.
Yeah.
So do you always win then?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I lose probably more than I win, I think. Oh, yeah. When I've looked at like my cage match kind of like results, I wear this database where someone has got this database called Cage Match, where they literally, like, every single wrestler, they keep a score and a record of who they've wrestled, where they've wrestled, the results.
Can you imagine what their bedroom smells like? Yeah.
Oh my God. Come and links. That's
I think they got the tattoo of our logo, David. That's one of those guys.
The reason that I asked about like personas and stuff is I thought that like
so I didn't know that people are like, oh, this is so-and-so, but they used to be called this, but they used to be called that. And like, I didn't know that it's like normal to go through a few different like personas and things before you get the one that clicks.
Yeah, and so lots of different promotions, innit? So, you know, you might be resting with a different company.
Oh, I didn't know that they did that. So you're like, oh, I'm fucking Clint Margera when I'm doing this, but when I'm down in Plymouth for fucking Plymouth CW or whatever.
Plymouth CW.
What's the C?
You what?
What's the C stand for?
Championship.
Yeah.
All right, my lovers. We got a death match coming up.
I'm going to throw you off Spinnaker Tower, so I will.
You've been a right naughty bugger. So are you always, have you always been Clint Margera, or has there been other iterations of you?
The only other time that I've ever had a different wrestling name is when we started wrestling in my mate's back garden at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was called Dave Angel.
Right. Dave Angel?
And that was purely down to the fact that my favourite Fast Show character was Dave Angel, the Eco Warrior.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And my finishing move was the Swanton Bomb, which is what Jeff Hardy used to do, and I called it the Moonlight Shadow. Because on the Fast Show thing, he's walking down the road, and that's the song. Like a moonlight shadow. So that's why I called it the Moonlight Shadow.
Amazing. What's your finisher called now?
Just a Death Valley Driver.
Nice.
What is that? What's a Death Valley Driver?
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, so you pick him up.
Because you're the expert, Rob. What is a Death Valley Driver? Talk me through it on producer Tom.
So you grab the left arm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. Fucking hell.
You're a finisher.
This bit out. This looks fucking awful.
No. This is staying in. All right. Go on.
Grab the right arm.
Grab the right arm.
Pull him in. And then you pick him up so the head is there. On the back of your shoulders.
Shit.
And then you just flip him over.
Could you do that potentially on Tom right now, this exact very second?
I could potentially pick him up.
Oh, right. Okay. But he's not been trained on how to like fall properly.
Yeah, so I could pick him up into the position and go from there.
Oh, no. I can't have a go.
So I can get you there, but I just can't get you there.
Yeah.
You're going to have to finish yourself.
Like every prostitute I've ever hired.
It's just a tease. It's just a tease.
Is there anyone that you've never been able to pick up, or do you have like a weight limit?
I've seen him pick up some fucking big lads.
Skinny to ride Clint Margera.
I have surprised myself sometimes with like some of the lads that I have managed to get up.
Yeah, it's just that adrenaline, I guess, when you're in there.
If they give a little
like
jump as well.
15 stone, I think. He's done bigger than me.
I'm 18.
Yeah. I think you might be maxing out.
That is the fattest I've ever felt. When a professional
pro wrestlers every week is picking up these massive jacked dudes, and
he didn't even back himself to do it. He backed himself to try to do it.
I'll give it a go.
Me, right? You've called me a fat cunt every episode for 75 fucking episodes. Nothing. A professional wrestler not backing himself to pick me up. That is, mate, if I'm ever in a fire, it's going to take two firemen's lips, isn't it?
That's better than me going, get fucked.
Because that's what he was thinking.
Look at the state of it.
At least you were borderline.
Oh, yeah, I could try.
Oh, pick that up. Are you fucking having a laugh?
Yeah. Got a forklift in the back.
Bring out the barbed wire trampoline, lads. I'm not picking this gun up. That's fucking funny, mate. Oh, shit.
Tell you one thing I was like really pleasantly surprised with a lot of your matches. Loads of them are funny. Like, as well as being, like, fucking brutal, there's, like, a real, like, sort of gallows weird sense of humour with it, with the crowd, where they're, like, getting involved in, like, funny chants. So you're twatting people with a PS2 while everyone's chanting PS2. There's just, like, a weird, like, fun, light-hearted vibe to something that's so incredibly violent. Like, I really enjoyed that about it.
I think that might have been the one where they were literally playing the PS2, like, in the middle of the match.
Right, not in this one. This is another time you've twatted people with a PS2. Yeah.
Yeah, PS2s, VCRs are always a good one as well.
Yeah.
Do you Do you sometimes use props just because you can't be asked going the tip?
Look, love, I bought a new telly. I'm going to go smack me mate with it so it's tax deductible.
It is a good way to get rid of shit.
Yeah. If the charity shop don't want it, belt your pal with it.
Just think, I've got a Nintendo Wii in a drawer at home.
Yeah, Wii's a shit.
What am I
going to
do with this wardrobe?
I'd never break an N64.
No.
You're not a monster. Come on now.
Sacrilege.
A Wiimote isn't going to be that spectacular, though, to be honest.
You're going to wield it like nunchucks.
Mate, if you had it... To be fair, if you had it set up so you did Wii bowling whilst you were smashing it into someone's face...
Like Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Anything by Sega other than a Mega Drive can get in the fucking bin as far as I'm concerned. Genesis, yeah. No.
So do you literally like, when you're planning out a match, do you go to the shop together, like you and your opponent, to work out spots and stuff?
Most of the time people will like bring stuff to the shows. Like there's a group, Deathmatch Outlaws.
Yeah.
Danny Douglas, he like makes a load of shit and will bring it to the show. And like, there's another guy called Dean who does exactly the same.
Yeah.
He'll like make stuff and he'll send me the pictures and everything and be like, oh, can I make this? Or if I make this, do you think it'll work? And you think it'll look cool?
Yeah.
And those people are like so important to the deathmatch scene now. Like,
yeah, totally.
Because there's been so many times where you'll have like, oh, you're in a deathmatch and you'll get there and it's like a chair. Yeah. Well, that's not a death match.
No, that's.
So these people are like super important.
I bet. Yeah. When you say works, like I imagine, like, do you mean like when you say a prop works, it's got to look cool, not kill you. I assume is the thing.
That is the idea.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I got to like, because there has to be that thing, doesn't there, of just constantly innovating. Mm. Because I guess that if you're a fan of death matches and stuff, once you've seen something, you've seen it. You know what I mean? So you've got to constantly find new ways to kind of push the boundary and take things further and stuff. So I imagine that people who make the stuff and are the innovators behind it, without them, it just fucking stops, doesn't
Definitely, it? Definitely, yeah. Absolutely. Like some of the ideas that I've seen them come up with, like I wouldn't have even thought of, or one of the other guys wouldn't have even thought of. And they, like I say, they're just really important. And without them, we'd be taping shit together 2 minutes before a match.
What's
the weirdest idea that someone's come up with where you've gone, no, can't, that's too far?
I mean, I'd nail dildos would have been my one. I love the idea that he's in a shed surrounded by dildos. And he's like, what can I do with this one?
I've got some no more nails. No, that's not it.
No, that's not right. That's not right.
How about more nails?
What about these really rusty nails?
Oh, Christ. I imagine you're very up to date on your tetanus shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your outfit for wrestling in?
It's a pair of jorts with like...
I don't know. What's a jort?
Jean shorts.
Oh, okay. All right, John Cena.
Yeah, Steve Austin.
Yeah.
That guy from Twilight. He's always got jean shorts on after he's turned into a werewolf. He's got like the biggest collection of jorts you've ever seen.
The Incredible Hulk as well.
Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno.
Okay, jean shorts.
Yeah, jean shorts and then like some patches on, like band patches and stuff, like, stuff that means something to me. And then one of my t-shirts just with the sleeves cut off.
It's got to be a t-shirt you don't mind getting spoilt.
Yeah.
You don't wear your best one.
It's just one of my own, from my merch.
Sure.
Sleeves cut off and then boots and pads and gloves so I don't cut my finger off anymore.
How did you come to settle on that outfit then? Was it like a process or did you just sort of...
It's very cost effective.
Yeah.
I would hate to have spent hundreds of pounds on gear, which a lot of the people do, getting it all pretty and nicely sewn and sequined and everything to then just get it ripped and covered in blood.
There's
and
broken glass everywhere.
Yeah, like deathmatch wrestlers tend to dress less flashy, I would say, in general, because you know what's about to happen to your fucking clothes.
Yeah, you've got to go for durability, haven't you?
Yeah.
Above anything
else. You buy your jean shorts in bulk, I reckon.
To be fair, the ones that I've had have lasted. I think I've worn them pretty much every deathmatch I've had for like the last 3 years.
Oh, fucking hell.
Wow.
So
they have seen
some action. I'll just stick them up on my Big Cartel one day when I'm really struggling. When fuel becomes £1,000 a second or whatever.
Sometime next week, these will be for sale. Yeah.
The next time some Tory fucks over.
So let's talk through like a wrestling match and how it works from the perspective of a performer, right? So you rock up, like what time does a wrestling show start? Like 8?
7, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock's too late, by the way. If you are a promoter, that is too late.
Yeah. What time are you in the building for?
Well, I normally will travel with Howard because he does like the ring hire as well.
Yeah.
So I'm normally there probably, well, earliest one there really, probably about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Whoa. Holy shit. All right. Okay. If you didn't have to travel with Howard, what time could you rock up realistically?
Normally about an hour before doors, then they would say is the latest.
That's amazing.
Do you already have your spots worked out?
I've got like my own set things that I'll put into every match.
Right.
And then you just kind of work it around your opponent's set things. That's like the easiest way to do it.
Just to
have like these little spots that you would run, and then you can either do it so you do it all the way through, or you do it so you get cut off and then you go back to it later so you pay it off and actually do it.
I see. So you have almost like comedians have like jokes and routines.
Yeah.
You've got your bits and they've got their bits and you'll work it together. Mm-hmm. Do you ever improvise stuff? Do you ever just go, let's just fucking try this, or is that too risky?
Sometimes we'll be like, okay, well, maybe I'll do this move, but I'll do it onto this or through this or something like that kind of thing,
Okay. Yeah. And
but I imagine the big spots, you've got to be sure where you're going.
Yeah.
And when they're doing like your spots and theirs, is there any time where they're like, oh yeah, I do this thing where I do this, and you're like, nah, mate, I don't want to fucking do that. Like,
yeah, there's definitely parts where you'll be like, nah, it doesn't really make sense to put it there or put it in the match at all.
So it's a collaborative thing.
Yeah,
because it's storytelling, isn't it? You don't want to immediately go to the biggest spots. You want to you're trying to create that tension and the build through it, aren't you?
Yeah, and if something just doesn't make sense at all, then there's no point doing it.
Who decides who wins?
Normally down to the promoter. Mm-hmm. Should be down to the promoter.
And when do you, when do you find out who should win the match?
There's times where I'll kind of know like ahead of time, maybe a week before or something.
Okay.
And then I can have like a much better idea of where I want to put my stuff and how I want to do it.
I suppose you've got to know that in order to plan where the spots are going to be.
Yeah. But there are times where you'll get there and it'll be decided on the day.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Have you ever been like, because I imagine that this happens, like you get there and you're wrestling for Plymouth CW, big
PC dubs.
Yeah. Do you reckon they'd pay the X's from bloody Newcastle? I don't think so. It's fucking miles away. They don't sound like a really good outfit, to be honest. Yeah. They sound a bit sketchy.
Well, they made a lot of money in hardcore Lego matches, so they they pay travel expenses. So you're there and you're wrestling somebody, and they go, oh, we want them to win. And you're like, yeah, because you're best mates with a fucking guy who runs it. I know what's going on here.
That never happens. I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? Okay. Like, of course you're going to be the champion because you're fucking...
Are you the owner of the promoter? Of course you've got the belt.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Sometimes. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, but it's the same with all like bits of entertainment. You know, like that's the thing we got in common. That nepotism is going to be everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. It's got to run on nepotism, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're backstage and you're talking through what's going to happen and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, when you get into the ring, I imagine it's fucking like adrenaline's pretty high.
Yeah.
Do you ever like feel dead to it because you're just like, I've done this so many fucking times.
Nah, not at all. The amount, I can't tell you how many pisses I have before a match. How many nervous pisses.
I'm the same, man. Like before I go on stage, I just drink so much water because I'm like, I've got such a fear of dry mouth on stage. Mm. I hate having dry mouth on stage. So I just subconsciously, I don't even think about it. I end up necking like 2 bottles of water and just pissing constantly before I go.
Oh, mate. Mm. I've never seen that side of you.
Well, I'm not like nervous. I'm not even thinking about it. It's just like, I'm just subconsciously drink loads. I'm not like stressed, but it's just a thing that always happens before a gig. Yeah. I imagine needing a piss in the middle of one of your matches is inconvenient.
There's definitely times where I've been like, oh, we'll do a brawl. But we'll brawl into the toilets just in case.
I had a bit of a dodgy curry on the way here. Yeah. Can we make sure we're going past somewhere where I'm going to be safe?
Hear me out, right? What if barbed wire, but then I piss on you? What?
That's it's also a golden... very niche.
A golden showers match.
Oh, the fact that probably has happened somewhere.
Oh definitely, yeah.
You've got to work.
Of course it has.
Yeah. Scat wrestling is definitely a thing, isn't it?
Oh, that is the worst thing I've ever thought of.
It's definitely happened. It's definitely happened.
That's horrible. There you go. Scat wrestling.
Well, like, there you go. There's a new spot for you, right? Yeah. You don't even need to do a lot to it. Just poo on a table.
No.
Right.
Put barbed wire on it if you want.
Either. I hate that word, man.
What? Poo.
It's really funny.
Why can't people just
something.
Say shit?
Yeah, yeah, we found
something that's we found your one
yeah.
weak spot.
Yeah, and it's the swear word for a 5 year old. That's this is one weakness.
Such a horrible word.
So what happens then if something goes wrong? So you're wrestling each other, and the guy, I mean, is he like whispering in your ear and be like, "I've just fucking blown my knee or whatever. Yeah. Like, we need to finish this quickly." What happens? Is there like a procedure? Is there like a way that you guys deal with it?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the time now, the referees are like mic'd up to people watching in the back, or like someone, like a commentator or something or whatever. So if something does ever go wrong, there's like signals and things like that that they can throw up, and they know that the finish is going to change, so make sure they play the right person's music at the end. And
sure,
there are times where it has happened. You have to call shit on the fly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then has it happened to you? Is it like a regular thing that happens, or is it like a once in a?
Luckily, it's not as regular as people would think. Mm. Obviously, with the weapons and stuff like that, but it's never happened to me personally.
Yeah,
but I've seen it happen.
Oh, okay. Is there like again watch? Because I think sometimes when you're a comedian, you can watch comedy and you can see tiny little things that other people wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
That like, oh, he said the wrong word there, or oh, he's just sort of, you know, that wasn't quite right. That wasn't quite right. Can you see that when you're watching other matches? You're like, this isn't meant to.
Yeah, that's not if you're cutting your bicep off, it's pretty noticeable.
But even like little things where it's just like a normal move where it didn't go as they would hope, you can kind of tell.
Doesn't look
quite right.
At
them that they're a little bit like, shit. That didn't
have you ever fucked up real bad, like, in a match?
I've definitely forgotten shit.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget stuff, though.
Yeah.
So easy. Yeah. But there's definitely points where I've been like, we'll be like trading off and hitting each other, and it's like we're meant to be like you hit each other three times and then go to the next thing, and then I'm hitting him like six times, and I'm like,
you're just really getting into it.
I fucking forgot what I'm doing.
line alright, we're doing
this. It's the plug board, I remember.
So now if people watch this and they see me hitting someone eight times, and they're like,
he's forgotten
got a clue what he's doing.
He's stalling.
He's forgotten the match.
They're just bringing out the fucking barbed wire trampoline. There's been problems.
Like, because I know there was a thing in like old school wrestling where you get a receipt. Like, if you fuck something up and you hit someone too hard when you didn't mean to, they'd hit you back proper to let you know you've done it wrong. Does that sort of shit still go on? Does it happen in death matches? Because I imagine it's a very different standard. If you give someone a receipt in a death match, they're going to get fucked up.
If it's someone that I've never wrestled before and they want to do a trade off, I'll always be like, okay, well, you go first.
So
and then I'll
the
base
level.
It on what? I'll right, base it right, on right. how hard they hit me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if they hit you really hard, you're like, you fucking
I'll be like, oh yeah, snug. Let's go.
Yeah. I imagine you're not a man who's upset by that. You're
no, like... I'd rather have a lot more impact than fucking missing me by 3 foot.
Yeah. Because you're already getting hurt.
Meant to be going, ooh.
Yeah.
But it didn't even touch me. Like, I'd rather feel it. I'd rather a little bit of force behind it.
What are the bits you think you're crazy, best man. At as a wrestler? What do you think, like, you're the best at? Like, what do you think your biggest strengths are?
I think I'm quite relatable because I dress like an emo. I listen to a lot of emo. I think people can kind of get behind me because I'm just like a normal person. I don't really have like an over-the-top character where, you know, I've got like robes and feather boas and coming out like Ric Flair.
I
really like selling.
Right.
I really, really like selling.
No, you're very good at that. Like, and that's why, you know, being a relatable guy who's getting hit with that shit, it looks like you're fucked up, and that's, you know, yeah.
Selling's where you go, oh, I'm injured like that.
I thought you meant merch.
No.
Oh, it's pattern. Amazing. Say what you want about Clint Margera's wrestling technique, but my God, his fucking rapport with the crowd when he's selling his bits.
He can sell a hat.
More jorts than I've ever seen in my life. Flying off the shelves. Yeah. Okay, so the selling bit. What are the tips for selling well?
Facials. Facial expressions.
Right.
Filth, man. It's filth over here.
Mate, it's like welcome to the Becky pod. Goodwin, isn't it?
Facial expressions. Like eye contact with the crowd and stuff.
Yeah.
Like vocal as well. Because if you're hurt, normally you would shout out, wouldn't you? Or you would be screaming.
What's your vocal? Come on, give us a vocal.
Fuck!
Oh.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
I was worried then for a second.
How much of that hat?
I'm very excited in a bit for us to... we're not going to need to do any selling, I think, because we're all pussies.
Yeah. I'm going to need to...
Yeah, Freddie has been saying for quite a while that it doesn't look like it hurts at all. Mm. And like you probably... It's really? All fake. Yeah, it looks like pussies.
He's saying this so that you hit me
I know, I can show you the episode where you were saying this, Freddie.
I don't remember talking saying big smack this.
But we did film it, though.
I was like, I think it looks very painful and I respect deathmatch wrestling.
I don't remember ever saying that I thought wrestling was fake. I don't think that, I've said many times, it's not my thing, but like, I think there's so many crossovers and similarities between this and comedy that you sort of
you're also going to be shit at this.
Yes. Well, you sort of see wrestlers as sort of like, I don't know about you, Rob, but I sort of see them as like distant cousins. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we're somehow like slightly related.
Wrestlers and porn performers and comedians, I think we're the same strata of the entertainment industry.
Sorry, wrestlers and porn?
Porn performers and comedians, I think we're all in the same bit.
Okay, yeah. So I have like a distant cousin relationship with wrestlers where I go, okay, we're performing to crowds and audiences and stuff. I've never gone on stage and gone, I'm a bit of a porn star, mate.
Not me. Pretty much. No, I'm in a specific category. I'm more mean that we're like sort of on the fringes of the entertainment industry, often looked down upon and misunderstood from outside, that sort of thing. We're often like similar people is what I mean. We're all sort of like weirdos. There's always something a bit off with us.
It does take a certain sort of person to do these kind of things, doesn't it? Like, because it's not normal. It's not like a normal thing to do.
Yeah. And even in the world of wrestling, you're on the edges of that.
Yeah.
Aren't you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very like counterculture kind of.
That's exactly
totally. Is there anything, because I mentioned stuff that you're good at, is there anything that you think as a wrestler you go, I wish I was better at that, like I wish I could improve on that?
Flips.
Can you do like a flip?
I can do a front flip.
Yeah.
But you'd love to be like one of those that can do like...
But I'd love to...
Many flips.
And like, because I do so much deathmatch wrestling that when I watch wrestling, I tend to watch stuff that I don't necessarily do.
I'm like,
because it really amazes me when I see them do all of that high flying stuff.
Yeah, I watch a lot of like weird, surreal comedians who are nothing like what I do. Just because it's a nice, like, different.
Oh, when I was growing up, I loved Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Like, and that's as far away from the sort of stand up as I do.
Yeah, because Eddie's is funny.
Wow. You really
said that. And set yourself up.
Yeah, really.
You laid down on the table, I just jumped on it, mate.
He's also very good at running.
Oh, yeah. I go out and watch marathons all day. Yeah. All day. Love it. Tough mudder. I'm at every event. Biggest cheerleader.
I am super excited to do some stuff with you and get hit with some stuff. This has been dead fun, mate. Really enjoyed this. Where can people find you to follow you, check out your matches, that sort of thing?
So on Twitter, Clint Margera. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, ClintDMW. And TNT is where I'm mostly based.
Yeah, because you are the Extreme Division champion.
Extreme Division.
Oh, that belt looks cool as fuck. Yeah.
Extreme that Division World earned. Championship. Yeah. That is a legit world title. It's in the world of wrestling.
That's so big, I think it'd fit Freddie.
Yeah. I like, you know, there can't be many belts that are harder to win, to be honest. You know, you've really got to go
that
through
is,
it.
That is genuinely cool as fuck. Yeah, feel that.
I mean, that's quite heavy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice. Do you know what? I've held a gold medal, and that is more impressive.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, did a bit of running, did you? He's been through 48 light poles to get this. Oh, mate, thank you very much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Really enjoyed
it. No worries,
man.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for doing it, and thank you for listening to Dead Men Talking. Yeah. If you want to check out the special content that we're doing, we're going to do a Patreon-only episode after this, which is going to be basically Clint hitting us with things. You look so happy. You look so pleased.
Yeah. Well, you said it was fake, apparently.
Exactly.
So
it was fake.
We'll see how fake it is.
It was fake and for pussies.
I've seen the things that we're getting hit with, and they do not look fun.
I'm quite scared. Yeah, like, I've been excited for this all week until last night, where I went, oh no.
I just woke up in the middle of the night, all northern, yeah, terrified.
Like, oh God.
I was all right until I got here and went, are the fake chairs, right? Nope, steel chairs from Argos.
I'm talking a big game on the podcast where I feel safe because I'm on a sofa. But the minute we stop recording, please, Mr. Clint, I apologise.
I think Freddie's going to get a mysterious injury between now and the special. Kuehl.
What a reference. I also hate Freddie, so yeah, it works.
If you want to get on that, if you want to have a look, we've also got wrestling outfits as well. Captain Bendy and the Egg will be making an appearance. Those are our wrestling characters, Captain Bendy and the Egg. I mean, it doesn't take an awful lot to guess who's who.
Yeah. and our leprechaun sidekick, Cumguzzle.
What is that?
What?
What? Is that my name?
That's your name, yes. Oh, remember Hornswoggle? We've got a new one.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll suck your dick better than it's ever been sucked in your life, sir.
That's my finisher.
You better give good facials on this.
If you want to check it out, that's Patreon only content, patreon.com/deadmentalkpod. You can sign up from £3 a month, and you get access to loads of other benefits as well, including extra episodes, access to all of our messed up videos and stuff. So get on that. Thank you ever so much, Clint Margera. That's been another episode of Dead Men Talking. Go fuck yourselves.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.